Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
What's going on, Jermaine Johnson? Tune in to Turn on the Jets podcast.
Hey, this is Vinny Pasquantino of the Kansas City Royals. Make sure you tune into the Turn on the Jets podcast.
Everybody, welcome back to the Turn the Jets podcast. I'm your host, Will Parkinson, at WillPod11 on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok. Joined by a special guest today. I think this might be the first offensive player, honestly, on the pod. I feel like for the last 2 years have been strictly defensive guys. So nice little change of pace. Yeah, Jets tight end, Tyler Conklin. Tyler, how are we doing today, man?
Good, man. Appreciate you having me.
Yeah, I'm excited to chop it up a little bit, talk some ball. Obviously, I always joke, there's never a dull moment with the Jets, no matter what happens, win, lose. Quiet time in the offseason, everything's kind of going crazy, and we can kind of get into, let's get into a little bit of it, but kind of wanted to start you off with just, what was the first year like in New York, right? Like, or New Jersey, whatever you want to call it. How's the transition from Minnesota to New York?
Yeah, when I first got here, I used to be like kind of stuck on that. I'm like, do I say like New Jersey? Do I say New York? Like, what do I say? It was interesting. Just from like a life standpoint, right? Like I was only like Minnesota was all I knew for 4 years, and being drafted there and kind of like working my way up and getting my opportunity. And then, you go to a new place, you go to New York, you got new teammates, new coaches, new systems, new city, like figuring out where to live, moving from Minnesota, selling a house, buying a house in Michigan, figuring out a place to live in New Jersey. Just like a lot of just life changes and, adapting. And me and my fiance, she's out there most of the time with me besides when she decides to go home, but we enjoyed it. We enjoy it. So I like eating and exploring, so like getting down to the city and trying new places and getting my bagel sandwiches and stuff in the morning that you guys are so well known for. So I really enjoyed it. Definitely was probably the craziest year for me when it just comes to just figuring out life and adapting and things of that nature that like a lot of people don't think about when it comes to like transitioning and switching teams. But, I enjoy being in New York.
Yeah, it's interesting. I was going to ask you kind of at the end about like bagel sandwiches and favorite restaurant spots. I think it's interesting, you hear a lot of these rookies talk about it, and, Sauce has talked about a little bit of just, this is going to be the first off season in a long time where it's like, you have free time, this is a job now. I know it's probably the first off season for you where, since you're in college, right? You're in college, you transfer, you go to a different college, you get drafted, all that stuff. That whole offseason's all draft prep. Then 4 years straight of just, trying to learn an offense, trying to get, and all this different stuff, trying to work your way up, and you're living in the same spot. Now it's like your whole life is totally different, but you're a grown man with a fiance. It's a lot different, right? Like it's like almost like draft process on steroids.
Yeah, it's just weird because, sometimes you get so caught up in, like, your career and what you want to accomplish and just, like, the grind of trying to become who you want to become that, like, life just kind of passes you by. And, being in Minnesota, like, living in an apartment for 2 years, I get my first dog my rookie year. And then my girlfriend at that time moves in with me my second year, and we get another dog. And then the third year, she convinces me to buy a house in Minnesota. And I'm like, I'm not buying a house. Like, I'm not dealing with that. And we bought a house during COVID. And then – after my fourth year in Minnesota, we know we're probably not going to be back. And, we sell that house and I'm like, okay, now where the heck we're going to live? Like, we got two dogs. And so then we're looking and whatnot. And my brother's in the military. So we went and visited him out in California last off season in February. Went out there and stayed in California for a month. And, we ended up finding a house in Michigan. We were flying home. And so we bought a house and sold a house in Minnesota and bought a house in Michigan, like in the same week. And then it was just like nonstop moving. And while she was moving, I was going out to OTAs in New York and after dealing with the whole free agent process and after finding out going to New York. So now I'm in OTAs and she's moving us. And I get home for that little month break you get. And I'm like trying to enjoy the house, but like also doing nonstop shit to it or stuff to it. And, you know, and then like go, you know, you go out there, you have the camp and the season and, you know, good and bad, you know, as, you know, all together. And then you come home and it's like, okay, like you think you got a breath of fresh air and like, bam, I'm getting married in April. And now it's like all the shit, stuff when I get done to the house, I'm like actually doing. And it's just been nonstop. So I keep telling her, I'm like, next offseason I'll get a break. But right now it's still kind of crazy.
No, I'm planning a wedding too in July. So trust me, I it's its own beast.
I was stressed out about it.
Yeah, no, it's between money, let alone planning, calling all these people. In terms of, you know, I mean, obviously there's some stuff you can't really talk through, but like for the free agency process, obviously going through it for the first time, you kind of give an insight a little bit to people that maybe don't really understand it. I think they just assume like, oh, the Jets just, or whatever team, oh, they just call you. Boom. Okay. I want X amount of dollars. Like what does that kind of look like? Was that something you were excited for, or was it a stressful time knowing I'm likely going to be uprooting myself, my fiance, and like, I don't know what I'm going to get paid. I don't know where I'm going. Like, is it more the excitement, or is it kind of like that uncertainty that's a little bit frustrating or kind of taxing?
Yeah. I mean, it was really exciting because like, you know, finishing, like getting an opportunity to start my fourth year, especially after like not really getting a chance, being tight end three, kind of getting a chance at the end of my third year, and then being a starter my fourth year and having a good season and also being healthy. And then you get out and you're like, okay, like, you know, everything that you need to happen to put you in the best situation possible. So, you know, we were excited for it. And, you know, we really enjoyed Minnesota, but we kind of figured we wouldn't be back there. Like everybody asked, oh, you think, because you think you're going to come back, blah, blah, blah. And like, you know, we kind of knowing Zim was going to be gone towards the end of that season and them having a new staff and not having a ton of money with Kirk getting paid and like some of the guys like getting paid what they're getting paid. Like we just kind of knew that new staff probably wouldn't pay a tight end to stay. You still had Irv on a rookie contract. So we kind of like expected to be gone. And so like we accepted that early to where it didn't, like it wasn't that bad. Like we kind of knew that was going to happen. But then like you get, like we're in California for that month, like I was saying, and you're just like waiting, like, damn, like where am I going to be? It's like such uncertainty for so long. Like what am I, you're just sitting there for a month, just waiting to like figure out what you're going to have to do to like get in life to be normal again. And then like the process picks up and you start like figuring it out, you get excited and, you know, there's ups and downs in it. Like we were talking about politics before we got on here, and you know, it just never changes, right? Like just, you know, with people's names and certain guys, and you know, so you know, it was frustrating at times. It wasn't frustrating at times, and you know, once we started talking to the Jets, I never thought about the Jets. Like going there, really, you know, being from the Midwest, like a lot of Jets games and stuff aren't on. Like it's just not a team you're really too familiar with. And, you know, after talking to, you know, Sal and LaFleur and stuff, like, I really liked the idea of you know, coming to New York. And, you know, after that, it kind of, you know, we had like a few teams we were talking to, but, you know, I liked the thought of New York and, you know, the conversations I have with the coaches and whatnot. So it ended up working out perfect, I think.
Yeah, no, it's interesting. I remember last off season, you know, this time being like, all right, the Jets are probably going to sign a tight end, draft one early and kind of partner it. And then it's like sign two and draft one relatively early. It's like, it's interesting how it ended up working. Like it's just the way it worked. You know, CJ's deal comes in and everyone's like, all right, cool. They'll probably just draft one. Oh wait. Oh shit. Now they have Tyler too. And it was kind of an interesting balance and just seeing the fan base react.
It was interesting for me and I'm sure CJ too, but cause you know, we were talking and, I'm I'm probably going to, you know, sign there. And then all of a sudden, like, they signed CJ. And, you know, and they called me, like, hey, don't freak out. We want to tell you before, but we still want both of you, blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, okay, this is weird. And we were, like, playing everything out and trying to figure it out. And I'm like, okay, well, I still like the situation. Like, I've, you know, heard nothing but great things about CJ, which obviously ended up all being true, man. You know, we had a good group and a good tight end room. Yeah, and it all worked out. But it was interesting for, like, those 10 minutes where, like, they signed him, they called me. And nobody really knew what the heck was going on. And now we're both here.
Yeah. it's interesting how it worked out. And then obviously you got guys like Jeremy who gets just a third round pick, obviously probably will benefit him in the long run to be able to have sat, gain some weight, understand the system. The difference what he looked like week 18 versus what he looked like in the preseason.
And I don't think he needs a game if he's going to keep hitting people like that.
Yeah, I know. It's just interesting. Like he was down the Senior Bowl and had a great first day, gets hurt. And then it's like, you don't see him again for 7 months. It was pretty interesting. I want to kind of you know, ask you about Salah in general. Obviously, look, there's everyone kind of sees, you know, the defensive guys obviously feed off the energy and feed off the, like, Salah's a guy, like, I've said this a million times, if you're expecting him to say something negative publicly about somebody, you're going to, don't hold your breath. It's never going to happen. Like, he's always going to be, you know, kind of have your guys back, especially publicly in a market like New York. Is it different being an offensive guy with a defensive head coach? Obviously you had that in Minnesota. It's like, is it interesting having that dynamic? I know it's a huge talking point around the NFL right now, of the defensive head coach versus the offensive minded head coach that's like siloed. Is that something you guys pay attention to, or it's just like, Salah's got our back, he gets us hyped up and we're ready to go?
Yeah, I mean, like you said, like in Minnesota, the defensive guy was Zim, and it was a lot different culture. Slightly different personalities. And, like, you know, Zim's an old school guy. Like, that building was a lot different, right, with Zim and Spielman. You know, it was a lot more like go in, head down, go to work. A lot of vets, a lot of guys that have been there for their whole careers, with, like, Eric Kendricks and Harrison Smith and Anthony Barr and, you know, on the offensive side, you have Rudolph and Thielen. And so, you know, you just had a lot of vets, and it was an older team and a more old school style with the coaching. And it was just completely different. I come to New York and we're young as hell, you know, all over the place, really. And so as coaches, like, you're young. And, you know, the thing I love about Salah, you know, not offensively or defensively, it's just like, he practices what he preaches, right? Like, you know, we're going to practice hard, but, like, he works hard, right? Like, he's the one that's still in the gym early as hell in the morning on the elliptical or working out, running stairs, whatever he is. You know, it's not like he, you know, he works hard, and, you know, that's the mentality that he has in life and how he lives his life. And, you know, it's easy to go to work and you know, work your butt off for somebody when that's how they live, right? You know, he's a Michigan guy. You know, we didn't grow up too far away from each other. So, like, you know, sign in with him and LaFleur both being Michigan guys. And, you know, I always thought that was a cool tie. But, you know, someone that, like, was a walk-on and worked his way up. And, you know, like, that's kind of how I live my life, to, you know, have a coach that does the same thing. You know, it's pretty seamless.
Yeah, no, it's something that I just think that, you know, you hear – every time you hear guys talk about stuff, it's always about, like, the person, which I think is – it is rare in the NFL. I don't care what anyone says. You look at the guys that last long in their, you know, respective situations. You know, you think of the Mike Tomlins of the world, just that everyone, no matter what, they could get on you 24/7, but you know they have your back. And I think that's something that the team kind of, it feels like, feeds off of.
100%.
Obviously, you know, there's going to be a change in scheme here. Not too much in terms of, you know, obviously the Jets, you know, obviously hired Nathaniel Hackett yesterday, and, you know, obviously Michael Floor takes the Rams job, which is pretty funny that he gets a job right away. It's more kind of just a general question in terms of, you know, learning a new scheme and being, you know, now being a vet in the league. How like different is that going to be of an offseason? It's like, okay, cool, I'm here. It's year two here. Kind of getting comfortable now. I know it's going to be a similar scheme in terms of stuff, and it happened 24 hours ago. It's not like anything. You know, and stuff like that. But is that something you look forward to? Of, hey, you know, new, like, somewhat new scheme. How is this going to use our tight end room and stuff like that? Or is it more just like, got to wait and see until we get in there, and we don't even know who's going to play quarterback, let alone kind of play calling we're going to get.
Yeah, it's a little bit of both. Like, it would have been nice to come back and be in the same scheme, right? Like, throughout my career, I've kind of had nice. My rookie year, my rookie year to my second year, I had a different guy. And then my third year, it was like, we always like kind of similar systems, but we went from like DeFilippo, who got fired in the middle of the year, to then Stefanski took over. And then it was Kubiak, and then it's Kubiak's son. And like, they're all similar things, but it's still different. People want things ran differently. Things get called differently. I come here and it's similar system again, but it's ran and called differently. And, it would be nice to be in the same thing, but it's also like, for me, it's exciting. I always enjoy the fact of like getting to impress a new coach, or like go out there and like have new eyes see you and see what you do and see what they think when they see you, of like, you know, what ways they come, like, pop in their head of how they think they can use you, or, you know, things that they think you do well that they can use you for. And I just always think it's a really good opportunity for, you know, all players to, you know, come out there and put your best foot forward and, you know, really try to mesh with the OC and see where that can take you. I always think that was exciting. That was something I was excited about, coming to a new place with new eyes on me for the first time in after 4 years by coming to New York. And then, you know, just a little more, obviously still a lot of the same coaches in some sense, but like having a new OC who's going to have different ideas and stuff. and they like their tight ends, it seems like, for the most part, right? You know, Denver even tight ends a lot. You know, just it'd be fun. It'd be cool. It's I think it's exciting, but it's always nice to not have to learn a new system, I guess.
Yeah. Denver somehow employed every single former Jets tight end three this year and decided to just rattle through those guys. So that was an interesting choice, but nonetheless, they got the ball. So
they did. Yeah. Who was there?
Yeah, like Eric Tomlinson. Tomlinson. They had
Robert.
They obviously traded Noah Fant. They had somebody else too. That
they had Eric Saubert from he played in Atlanta and somewhere else. And then they had Tomlinson. I remember Tomlinson. He was there. And then they had the rookie Dulich.
Then they had Andrew Beck. And then they had Albert. I can't pronounce his last name.
Andrew Beck. Albert O.
They had four guys in the depth chart. Good for them. In terms of, you know, you mentioned you and CJ obviously coming in together, both being vets in the league, both kind of having pretty big personalities, I would say. And how does it like work when you guys both come in? You're both, you know, trying to kind of both impress and, you know, compete and obviously try to, you know, earn reps and everything. And a lot of 21 personnel, a lot of 12 personnel. So it's not as if, you know, you guys both can't be on the field at the same time. But walking into a locker room of younger guys, is it something where you guys kind of walk in and we're like, we got to come in, be vocal? Or is it like, we'll kind of slowly mesh our way in the locker room? I know a lot of guys kind of different approaches, right? You have the Bart Scotts of the world back in the day who come in, you know, just start chirping people right away. Whereas there's other guys that are kind of that more the veterans that kind of come in, show you kind of how it's done, and then, you know, slowly start to grow in that leadership role. Is that kind of how it worked? Or is it just, do you guys kind of tag team it with a little bit? Cause being a young tight end, roster.
CJ is a little more probably outspoken than I am, just like with his personality and just being goofy and just being himself. Like, you know, for me, like the weird thing, like me and CJ were both like fifth round, 157th pick, same pick in the draft, both fifth round guys. So I just always have a lot of respect for people that were drafted late and especially to play what is going to be on year nine. You know, you got to respect someone like that because this league is hard to play 2 years in matter, you know, to the last nine, especially as a fifth round pick when you get a lot less of the opportunity and privilege that, you know, first, second and third round picks get. But, you know, like I keep saying, like I was a walk on in college, you know, I worked my way up in Minnesota. Like for me, it was always been about just like kind of being me and like working hard and not really saying much. And then like, you know, as you do that, like, you know, you build your relationships with your teammates and, then, you know, people respect you for how you work or how you approach things. And then it makes it easier to kind of talk to people and, you know, try to help when people need help. I definitely, you know, like at times I wish I kind of would have been more vocal just because I feel like there was a good opportunity to be vocal. But also just I didn't want to not be who I was and go into a new place and just start, you know, trying to be that guy who's always talking and doing this and doing that, because that's never who I was. So, you know, I don't want to go. And especially you got a new team. You got, you know, new teammates. You got to earn each other's respect. You got to, you know, from being the player that you say you are and want to be, and also just how you work on a daily basis. Like, you have to earn that respect from your players, from your teammates, before you can just go out there and, you know, start talking and doing certain things. So, you know, my approach has always just kind of been to just try to be me and, you know, earn your stripes and work hard. And, you know, you build those relationships though, and then you kind of talk to people and help younger guys and do things like that. And, you know, as they come to you because you build relationships and whatnot.
Yeah, no, I mean, it makes a ton of sense, obviously. And I guess a couple of just, you know, more, and then we'll get into kind of more of some of the fun stuff. In terms of, you know, you come in, you watch guys the way that, you know, a Brees, Sauce, Garrett Wilson, you know, amongst other guys come in and they make an impact in year one like that. Obviously, you know, top five, top 10 picks, like it's more the norm in the league now. But how, I guess, I don't know how to say impressed, because I think that's like maybe there was the wrong word, but how difficult do you think it is to come in and be that good that early and then now have this expectation of like, all right, so I'll see your first team All-Pro as a rookie, first time in 45 years as a corner. Like now people are like, now you're expected to even take a bigger step further. Or Garrett Wilson, like, is it going to be easier just because you're like, we've talked about like you're more settled, you're in the same place, you know what your goals are? Or is it going to be like, do you think it's going to be one of those situations where it's like, all right, the pressure's now on them. Now there's other guys that can step up, you know, maybe that didn't get as much credit necessarily or something like that. Like, I guess it's kind of a open-ended question, but what do you think that's like, I guess, for them being?
Yeah, I it's hard to know because I obviously was not in that position.
Neither have I. So that's why I'm doing this.
But I do think it's, you know, Sauce, Garrett, Breece, all of them, Jermaine. Like, I think just what they did as rookies is super impressive. You know, a lot has to do with opportunity, right? Like I said, we have a younger team, and that allows, like, rookies and younger players to get an opportunity sooner. But that doesn't mean you're going to play good. A lot of times people, like, I always used to tell people, you know, my opportunity came at the perfect time. At the end of my third year, I was getting comfortable. I was learning, like, I knew the offense. You know, I've been in the league for a while, and, you know, I was ready to perform. You know, if I would have got that opportunity as a rookie, who knows how it would have came up. That would have been my – could have been my one opportunity, and I could have blew it, and then, like, I would have been dubbed a crappy player. You know, everybody seems to be crappy when you look at New York media and stuff, but we'll get into that later. But, you know, for them to just come in and to play at the level they played at is just – I think it's super impressive. And, you know, the way they all go about their business, I really don't think there's going to be a problem with them getting better or performing. I mean – for Sauce, it's like, how much better of a season do you really have? I mean, you get more interceptions, maybe. I don't know, but people aren't going to really throw at you. So, but yeah, he's not someone that's going to get complacent. And, you know, I think that's really what it comes down to. You know, as long as you don't get complacent and you just keep doing what you've done your whole career and find ways to get better, you're going to be fine. Garrett, you know, obviously, like, as we figure out the quarterback situation and have some consistency there, you know, the sky's going to be the limit. I mean, I think for everybody, you know, like Elijah, Garrett, like there's just so much talent we have on this offense that, you know, when you have inconsistency and you're playing three different quarterbacks and, you know, like Garrett led with four touchdowns this year, like, I mean, it's hard to have anybody have good numbers when you're leading, you know, the top touchdown scorer with four touchdowns on the season. You know, but this guy's definitely a limit for him because just his natural ability is just stuff you can't teach, obviously, right? The way he runs routes, you know, how wiggly he is. And I always, like, when I first got here, I used to make the Justin Jefferson comparison a little bit just because, you know, they kind of move similar with their, like, Euro stepping through the routes and whatnot. But, you know, Garrett, I would just say, is, like, more shifty. Justin's bigger, you know, a little longer. But, yeah, I mean, I think this whole rookie class has a chance to be super special. And, you know, Breece, obviously, we saw him be special, and it still kills me that he got banged up like that. But I'm excited. I mean, I just think there's just so much stuff to be excited about. And, you know, I know Jets fans and everybody's like, oh, yeah, here we go, another year, get excited, blah, blah, blah. You know, I'm from Michigan, so I've been hearing this for Lions fans forever. But, man, we really are, you know, close in a lot of areas, and we figure out the quarterback situation, and we're going to have a lot of O-line healthy and back feeling good. And I'm sure they'll do some stuff in that category. But I'm excited. I mean, the season just ended. I'm excited to get back. So,
yeah. No, I'm on the same page with you. I think no matter what, this league comes down to a lot of different things, but it really does come down to the players. But it really comes down to one position where it's crazy to say that because it's such a team sport. But at the same time, you do need some stability there. And obviously with injuries, with a million different things, you know, technically four quarterbacks, obviously let's not discount Strebs a little.
Hopefully he doesn't watch this. He'll be disgusted with me. That's my guy.
No, look, I think it's interesting. You do mention that. And look, that Broncos game is crazy to really look back on just because, you know, not only does Breece get hurt on one drive, it was like a three straight drives. It was like Breece gets hurt, AVT gets hurt, then JFM like came back in the game, but he got hurt. I was like, all right, this is every single bad. It was bad. And some, you know, coming out of there with a W, obviously, is the most important thing. It just felt like a W that paid a way heftier price than, you know, I think anyone was really kind of expecting.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. Because AVT is also like, that's someone that I feel like just because linemen don't get enough love, but man, that's a special player right there. I don't know. I don't know O-line as well as most people do or some people do, but man, he's special. Just some of the things he does and just hearing other O-linemen talk about him and then just him as a person, just like cool, calm, collected, quiet, like just minds his own business. And that's a big one. That was a big one we missed.
Yeah, he's very versatile. Obviously played, you know, left tackle, right guard, left guard, and he's a rookie. So, I was a couple of fun ones here. Obviously, did you realize you had the same number of targets back to back years? Did you take a look at that? That you had like the same number of targets, basically same number of catches, touchdowns, and yards.
The first taste of rare bourbon you finally got your hands on. That's nice. At Caskers.com, we make this experience easy.
Caskers is a one-stop spirit curator with an impressive selection of exclusive, sought-after, rare, and household names in the realm of premium spirits and champagne. Discover the top flavors of the year now by going to caskers.com and using code WELCOME10 for $10 off your first purchase. Get $10 off your first purchase with code WELCOME10 at caskers.com.
I didn't look at it. I knew I was around the same in a lot of that stuff.
Literally 87.
I didn't know I had the same amount of targets. Some of the targets, you know, I just hate targets sometimes because you run a route or something and the ball's just like thrown in your direction. Dirted, like, oh, yeah, it's a target. I'm like, come on.
Especially as a tight end, like, it's...
I was like, I do not need that target. He threw it out of bounds. Or like, there was like a bunch of like one Patriots game or something. There's just certain games where there's just a bunch of targets. And I'm like, these weren't even close. But yeah, I didn't know it was the same. I knew I was close, which like I was disappointed in because I really wanted to, you know, from my standpoint, like coming into this year, like I wanted to take that next step in my career. And, you know, I feel like I got better as a player in some like run game and some route running and just understanding the game and getting better. And, you know, there's ups and downs just like every other season, but, you know, I really want to take the jump. And I think, you know, it didn't happen exactly how I wanted it, but that's kind of part of the game.
You got year two. That's why you got
that's
year.
Why you got year two. And that's why I kind of, sometimes I look back at it, I'm like, you know, why do I think, you know, I didn't take as much of the jump and you got the inconsistency at quarterback. But also I just think like the life stuff that we talked about earlier, right? Just all the different things going on. And, you know, it's going to be nice to have a place in New Jersey now and be settled and, you know the building, know the coaches, know where I'm at, know my spots, and just like have that little bit of being able to be comfortable there and, you know, be out there and just lock in for football. And then I'm excited for year two, man.
Yeah. I'm not going to ask you. Obviously, I think everyone would know the answer that obviously playing with a guy like Aaron Rodgers, just as an example of somebody that, you know, could be, you know, be a potential option for the Jets at quarterback next year. Do you guys, I guess, kind of, this is more of like a New York media question and just kind of being in New York. And it's obviously a big question around Aaron Rodgers right now. If you don't have to obviously answer this, but, you know, from Rodgers' perspective, a lot of the narrative is like, oh, he couldn't handle New York or he wouldn't want to play in New York and that type of stuff. Coming from being a Michigan guy, playing in Minnesota, obviously playing the NFC North, those are some of the most avid football fans, most intense football fans, you know, obviously in the world, but in the country, right? The Midwest has got, you know, those Packers, Bears games, Vikings, Packers, all that stuff. There's no bigger games you played against the guy, you know, a bunch of times. What do you make of when you see stuff like that? Not necessarily, this is not to do with Aaron Rodgers and stuff like that, but just in general, the New York media market, like, is it as crazy as, or is it more of like, the fan base here is just nuts mixed with the back pages, mixed with the media. It's like, is it more of a combined thing or is it
just
actual
a lot?
Media?
Yeah, there's a lot. Like you said, NFC North, like there's a lot of just history, tradition. There is in every conference, but like you said, there's just like, you know, like every game is a rivalry game in that division. I mean, kind of is here too, with Patriot, whatever. But it is like a combination of everything. The great fan base. Like that's what like when we first signed here and we like started realizing like how great of a fan base the Jets have. Like that was like, cause New York, I mean, Minnesota had a great fan base. Then they come here and they have a great fan base too. And that was awesome. Cause there's some teams that don't have that, but you have that. And then like you said, you have the media, you have social media. You just have so much going on now. So
that's
like,
Twitter.
I always tell people, like you look at Aaron Judge, like what he hit 60, whatever home runs and stuff. And then the playoffs are getting booed. Like that was just like the greatest example of like New York fans for me is like, they love you. They hate you. Like it just, that example right there, Aaron Judge, like being one of, if not the best player in MLB and has an amazing career year. And then he's getting booed because he's having a bad game or whatever like that. You know, that's just kind of what it is a little bit. I don't know. Like I was cause everybody's been asking me about like random people. Oh, what's going on with the Aaron Rodgers thing? I'm like, I don't know. Like, you know, like just random people texting me, random family, friends. I'm like, guys, one more person asked me about Aaron Rodgers, I'm going to lose it. And
Aaron Rodgers doesn't even know what he's doing. So,
yeah, nobody knows. I'm like, I don't even pay attention to any of this in the first place. But, you know, I was thinking about it. And I'm like, if I was Aaron Rodgers, you know, you got a chance to go to New York, help a franchise that hasn't won in a long time. We won now, but like win meaningfully, I guess. And you have the pieces around you to do so, offensive line, receivers, running backs, tight ends, great defense. It'd just be another stamp on your legacy, really. You could go there, win a Super Bowl and do it in like – you go and turn around New York City, like you got a legacy forever. And if you're just part of that team. And that's the cool part about it. Like I said, like the fans, they love you, they hate you on the next day, but it's because they care so much. And you know, if you can, you can go and win playoff games and win an AFC championship and win a Super Bowl, I mean, there's not a better place to do it than to do it in New York, and especially to do it with a franchise that's just so hungry and been waiting for it for so long. I look at it like that, and I try to, like, I don't know A-Rod at all, but if I was, you know, him, I would think, like, hey, why not?
Yeah, no, it's interesting. You look at, I always use Mark Sanchez as a great example of a guy that, like, Mark, when he was here, other than the playoffs, like, wasn't very good, right? Like, it just stats-wise, like, he had a lot of ups and downs. He played really well in the playoffs in the biggest moments. So he's remembered really well by Jets fans, and he's remembered really well for his playoff performances, his 1-4-row playoff games, you know, beat Peyton and Brady in the same playoffs. Like, that shit doesn't ever happen, right? So, and he's not, and it flamed out at the end, but no one cares about that stuff because they want to hold on. Like, if you win here, you win. Like, that's it. That's all that matters. And guys that you look at, you know, I always use like Gary Sheffield from a baseball example. Like, he was here for 3 years, was awesome, but they didn't win. And so everyone's like, ah, I don't like Gary Sheffield. It's like, why, dude? He was awesome. No, it doesn't matter. We didn't win. So it's just kind of the way things roll. I wanted to ask you a little bit about, you know, kind of some of the guys you guys have to match up with this year throughout your career. Like, is there certain matchups, I guess, you go into, you know, you go into a week where you know you're going to face a really elite level safety, really elite level linebacker, edge rusher? Like, is that stuff you're paying attention to more outside of, like, you know, obviously game plan wise, you're paying attention. You play Myles Garrett, know I have to chip on these and whatever. But do you, like, look forward to those type of matchups of, like, all right, like, I get Javon Holland twice this year. Like, I want to go score on Javon Holland. I'm just using it as an example, a new division or Cordy or whoever. Or is it more like, I'm not focused on that at all. I just want to go, you know, win and produce myself.
Yeah. I don't really think about it too much. Cause I just try to control what I can control. You know, obviously honestly, I don't know if I've ever really thought about it like that. Like, oh, I'm matching up with him. I do think though, like, as you get into a game though, and you're competing with a player that's, you know, a good player, like, you want to go and make a stamp and make it known. Cause at the end of the day, like, what matters more than anything is, like, how your peers judge you and you know, the people that play against you judge you, right? So, like, once you get into a game and you're playing against players that have been doing it at a high level for a long time or just do it at a high level, you know, in general, like, you want to go and perform because, like, you want your peers to respect you. And, you know, for me, definitely when it comes to, like, route running and matching up in the receiving side of things, like, I don't really think about it too much. I got a lot of faith in what I can do from a route running standpoint. You know, there's some matchups sometimes when you, like, DNs and certain players that are just, you know, sometimes at tight end, you're a little outmatched size-wise.
Oh, trust me, I know. It's my worst thing into tight end. I could, like, blocking, I'm like, I can help you on a TED block. Like, I'll crack down, but, like, if you're asking me to one-on-one block somebody, I'm going to get cooked.
Yeah, it's a will thing. Like, you gotta have the will to do it. But there's just some matchups that just, like, aren't in your favor at times. Like, you know, we played – he didn't play this year, but we played Randy Gregory when he was in Dallas the year before. And that was probably, like, one of the longest games I had because he just didn't stop all game, like, field goal, run game. You know, he was just trying to hit you every single play. And he's fast, he's strong, he's long, you know. So I always remember that game. So, like, people ask me, like, hey, who's one of the toughest edge rushers you went against? And I'm like, oh, Randy Gregory. Like, he gave me a hell of a day. But that was just my experience from that game. You know, like, we play Myles Garrett and stuff this year. Like, he's a talented player, but, you know, he's gonna pick and choose when, like, it's third down, he's gonna make a play, he's gonna go. You know, it's just like, just everybody plays different, and it, you know, your experience with that player is gonna be how you feel, you know, how you feel about it, obviously. But yeah, from a receiving standpoint, I really, you know, I just get excited to see what routes I get that week and, you know, work on how I'm gonna run them based on how people play and just try to find little tendencies to set stuff up. And then in a run game, it's more just the, you know, man-on-man type of thing. So it's like, okay, how am I gonna try to do this? But Randy Gregory always kind of stuck out to me because he just didn't stop that game. I'm like, oh my gosh.
No, that's one of the things you watch. They're really the elite of the elite guys. And I always think back, like, anytime I talk to anyone about Aaron Donald, and I know Aaron Donald's special as an athlete, but, like, he's a maniac. Like, he gets triple teamed every single play, and he splits triple teams every single play. Like, you don't – anyone that's ever played on the interior blocked at all in any level of football understands that, like, it's really tiring, like, as a defensive lineman or even as a tight end running, like, whatever. So it's just – it's funny when you watch those guys that are relentless. I want to ask you one tight end question, and we'll get into a couple fun things. You watch guys like Travis Kelce, right? Like, obviously one of the better tight ends of all time, you know, getting 18 targets a game in a playoff game, which is obviously nuts. Any tight end obviously dreams of that, but you know, I don't know how to say necessarily growing up because the position has changed a lot, but do you kind of get interested when people start talking about GOAT debates with tight ends and Gronk and Kelce versus some of the more like old school guys, like Gates and, you know, Tony Gonzalez and those guys, like, do you like find yourself on one side of those kind of debates of more the new school, you know, tight end versus more of the, you know, kind of the early 2000s, late 90s guys?
Kelce, obviously, like what he's done is remarkable, but it's just harder to compare to Kelce because of just what they do as an offense, like what the Chiefs do and how him and Mahomes are and just the chemistry they have and like their off schedule stuff and just their feel as a duo and as an offense is just completely different, right? Like he runs a corner route and feels his own and sits down and all of a sudden he's got a 30-yard gain. Like not most people can do that.
The field is so open.
Not much people are allowed to do that, right? And like you said, the field's so open, and you got Andy Reid, who's one of the greatest offensive minds ever. You got Pat Mahomes, who, I mean, is going to be one of, if not, you know, the best ever. It's going to be hard to pass Brady, but so it's just hard to like look at him and really compare yourself or find stuff that you can, you know, get from. Because you watch other guys, you're like, okay, like what am I going to get from him? What does he do well? And like him, it's just hard because of how they play the game. No, I was like Antonio Gates because Michigan guy again, basketball player, you know, just was very crafty in the way he did stuff and obviously did it for a really long time at a really high level. And, you know, one of our guys, Smash, he always would like send me clips of how certain people ran things, like, hey, this is how you run a swirl route. Or, and it'd be like, you know, he was with the Chargers and stuff, so he had a lot of Antonio Gates stuff. And, you know, I just really enjoy watching. Like, he wasn't the fastest. He wasn't, like, the most athletic, but – he was consistent, he was smart, he was crafty, and not that he wasn't athletic, but, you know, he just did a lot of things at a really high level, and you can look at it and learn from it. So, you know, I'm a big, you know, Greg Gronk's also different. Like, you watch Gronk, you're like, how is he doing this? He's just that big and also that athletic. Like, so there's some people, like, where you can, like, gauge 6'2", like, we're similar in size and weight and basketball backgrounds. Like, that's someone I enjoyed watching and trying to learn from and pick stuff up from. And then, you know, you got outliers, like, Gronk and Kelce, who you know, are just special, and you know, their careers have obviously been remarkable.
Yeah, no, it's interesting. It's kind of funny. I played tight end, like I transitioned from receiver and tight end college, and you always start watching guys, and you know, you try to figure out how I'm going to do this stuff. And like, I ran into Antonio Gates a year ago, and like, was picking his brain on stuff, and I'm like, this dude's like not as big as I thought he was, and obviously he's retired for 2 years now. But like, yeah. Like certain guys, I never got to go. I'm just never at a Chargers game live, you know, as a kid. And then it's like I saw Gronk in person. I was like, okay, this dude's literally 7 feet tall.
I get why people couldn't tackle him, or he just
I couldn't tackle him either.
Yeah, like it's just different, you know. And he's still, he doesn't look fast, but he's running a 4.64. He's just 6'7", 265. It's just. You know, it's just different. So, like, I always liked watching the guys I could try to compare to. And, you know, I definitely Gates is someone, like, people usually, when they ask me, I kind of always say Gates.
Yeah. The one other tight end question quickly is, you look at Mercedes Lewis, and I'm only asking you because you've got to play against him a couple of times. He's literally in year 19 as a tight end. Like, we don't even have to go into, like, in depth on why he's still in the league in 19 years. But, like, does it blow your mind that a position where, like, it's a super physical position, you get beat up more than receivers, and obviously, you know, it's a position where you got to maintain speed and craftiness and all that different stuff. Like, year 19 as a tight end is ridiculous. No, like, if you really think about it.
I mean, the cool thing is, like, Coach Mid, like, he coached Mercedes for a long time. So, you talk about it. First of all, Mercedes is a monster of a man. He's like, when you stand next to him, he's ginormous. But the thing for him is, like, he had his whole career, he was a receiving guy, really. What, 10, 12 years of being that guy, having a really good career. But I think the one thing that a lot of guys struggle with is, like, you're that guy that's getting – 5 to 8 targets a game, having, you know, 400, 500, 600 plus yard seasons. And then you get to a point in your career where you're in, you know, year 10, 11, 12, and you start kind of, you know, diminishing a little bit in the athleticism standpoint, like from an athleticism standpoint. And, you know, you kind of get phased out of that. And I think for him, it's like, okay, I want to keep playing and I still want to do this. And, you know, he's probably, I don't know, the best blocking tight end in the league. So for me, I just think, I don't know him, but it just seems like he just transitioned, you know, he just kind of you know, follow time and transition how you need to transition. And obviously to let play that long, you got to be a pro and you got to, you know, take care of your body and do the right things and, you know, things of that nature. But I don't know. I look at it from the outside in and I think like he just, you know, he just understood, no, like a lot of people just can't accept when things like that happen. They can't accept that they're not that guy on the receiving end anymore. And I feel like he kind of, and he still gets, you know, in the red zone, he still gets his touchdowns on, you know, down flat lates and little sneaky stuff or, you know, little rail routes, I guess, when Aaron Rodgers just throws up a beauty. But, yeah, that's what I think. I don't know.
Yeah, it's interesting. You listen to it. You just watch them. Like these positions, like guys that are not quarterbacks or punters or long snappers and kickers, yeah. No offense to those guys, but like your athleticism can diminish quickly in those positions. And if you're just smart and accurate or whatever, like you'll figure it out. Playing that long in the league at tight end, you know, Jason Peters of the world playing, you know, in the year 40. And like, it just, it's crazy to watch. I guess quick, like fun, I don't want to say like fun, but who's the best player you feel like you've gone, like got to see in person, played against? It could be on offensive, defensive side of the ball. Is there someone that stuck out? I know you mentioned Randy Gregory where you're like, holy shit. Like, all right. Like this dude is.
Yeah. Legit. Defensively, Randy Gregory and Cleo Mack were like both real tough ones. Like when Cleo Mack was in Chicago and that Chicago defense in like 18 was really, really good. I feel like that team still doesn't get enough credit. Offensively, honestly, we used to go to like, I was telling someone this earlier in the year, it was whenever we play Green Bay or go to Green Bay, Green Bay would come to us when I was in Minnesota. But you were just always on edge because, like, with Devontae and A-Rod, like, they just made everything look so easy. You could have a two-score lead or whatever. You just didn't feel safe. And then going and playing in Green Bay this year for the first time with Devontae not being there, it just didn't feel the same. It just didn't feel like you were that worried about it. Like, you knew, you know, Rodgers was going to make the throws and stuff, but you just weren't as worried. Like, when they were there together, like, third and 10, third and 5, third and 6, like, first down, back shoulder fade, you know, go ball. Corner go, like whatever it was, like it was just seemed so effortless and so easy for him. So like just like watching them together was always, I feel like, something special to watch. Cause like you could be up a score, two scores, three scores, and like, you still just felt like, okay, like we need to keep our foot on the gas and get through this game.
Yeah, they're that duo. It's still weird to think about like watching it last year. Devontae, sure. Different. He looked cool in the black visor and. You know, and all black and the Raider stuff, but obviously not the same. In terms of bet, you know, best trash talker on the team, do we have a clear cut answer? Because Justin Hardy said he's one of the best ones, but Will Parks is good. But then he said Sauce is very good.
I'm not giving it to Hardy. That's my guy, but I can't give Hardy the best trash talker.
Can't be a special teams guy and get the best trash talker.
Will does talk a lot of crap, but like he's also like a really good guy. So like it's not. Man, we got a good team in general, but Sauce does, but I'm not with him too much. You know who was? Is Spence, the receiver. When Spence came in from, I don't know where Spence was at before that, Denver. But, yeah, I don't know. Everybody said Sauce, but that's just because Sauce doesn't, like, I'm from Michigan, and a lot of my friends and stuff that are from Detroit and stuff, like, they're all the same. They just, like, keep talking. Even if it doesn't make sense, like, they just keep talking and talking and talking. So, like, it makes it hard for me to, like, think it's meaningful trash talk, but he is a good trash talker. But
yeah, no, I was trying to think in my head, like, who, like, part of the problem is like defensive guys get a lot of you just don't see a lot of the offensive guys talk as much trash. Cause a lot of stuff's like, it's hard to like explain, but it's a lot of face to face, like after a first down, stuff like that. Like, I don't know. You think of like the Jalen Ramsey.
Offense is just a lot more like logical and defense is a lot more emotional.
It's the smarter side of the ball.
And it's a lot more emotional on defense. Like, you know, like you're reacting to motions and like you're doing everything based off of the offense. Like the offense, like you're told what to do and you go and you do what you're told to do. And, you know, as you keep improving and getting better as a player, you add your spin to things, you do certain things. So you got a lot more like, I don't know, it's just a different way of viewing a game. With defense, it's like emotional and all reacting to everything. So I just feel like it allows them to talk more shit.
Yeah. Unless you're Tom Brady, who just infinitely talks an incredible amount of shit.
I always heard Philip Rivers was an elite trash talker.
Yeah, which he's got 14 kids, so I'm sure he talks trash to those kids.
I've always heard that smash. Like I'll talk to him about it, and just like when we played them my third year, we went out there, and everybody always said he was an elite trash talker. So, anyway,
It's funny. You think about those type of guys and you think like the Jay Cutlers that like just look like they just have no interest in being playing football at the moment, even if they're cooking. Yeah. Like
I was just watching the mic'd up with Jay Cutler not that long ago and I was dying laughing.
Just wants to him and speaking of Nathaniel Hackett, is probably his most impressive performance was the 2017 Jaguars, and Blake Bortles coming out after and saying if he didn't play football, he'd be on a construction site smoking cigs. Yeah. One of the craziest things I think I've ever heard from an NFL quarterback. We mentioned it earlier, living in New York. What are some of your favorite spots, either, you know, bacon, egg and cheese, Taylor ham, egg and cheese, whatever you get, and like food wise, like I know you like to do steak dinners and stuff. Is there some spots that have stuck out, you know, living in New York so far or New Jersey?
Gabe's Bagel in Chatham, fire. Bacon, egg and cheese, sausage, egg and cheese, whichever one. But Taylor ham, I usually go sausage, egg and cheese because they do two sausage patties and fire. The Gabe's Bagel in Chatham. In the city, like I've said on a podcast before, like LeBaron, French place. What is it, on Greenwich? Greenwich, is that what the street's called? Or?
Yeah, I don't know. I say Greenwich, but it doesn't matter.
Greenwich, somebody will correct me. LeBaron is really good, cool place. Like, good French food. It also kind of like turned into like a club-type vibe at night. Everybody used to always hype up, like, Catch Steak. So I went and tried it one time. Like, there's no way it's going to be that good. And it was that good. Like, I thought Catch Steak was really, really good. You know, there's a couple like speakeasies and stuff we'll get to every once in a while. Like Bathtub Gin was one of them. You know, I don't know. I'm trying to think, but really, LeBaron and Catch Steak are two really good spots. And then sausage, egg, and cheese from Gabe's. There's a place in Morristown called Inspiration Roll for like ramen and stuff. Really good. I don't know. There's a lot of food and stuff out there.
Pizza? No pizza takes.
Oh, pizza. So I didn't understand the whole pizza thing in New York. Like I tried it, and I'm like, I don't get it. Like I just. And then I had one place, it was called Clementi's, and I had a grandma pie from Clementi's, and that was like the one pizza I had that I'm like, okay, this is a little different. Like, I really enjoy Clementi's grandma pie.
All right, there we go. Well, I was going to say, we had to get one pizza taken. Sometimes
I went to a place in the city that was like, what was it, Joe's?
It's
like,
yeah, Johnny, oh, no.
And they're like all like famous people hanging up all over the place and stuff. Yeah.
No, I'm gonna get crushed.
You don't know. It's all right.
Yeah.
Like they say, like our pizza's bad, but like, oh, it's just cheese and crackers. Like yours is really just cheese and crackers.
See, I think I definitely stands out. Like Northeast in general, I think has really good pizza. Connecticut has some of the best pizza. New Jersey, New York, bagels too. Like I'm telling,
The bagels are good.
It's the water.
The bagels are good. Like I didn't want to believe that one either, and I went and got that. And I'm like, okay, the bagels are good. They're different.
Is there final finish with this one? Obviously, a lot of different. You know, basketball's going to start to get in, you know, into the back half of the year, obviously, and the regular season doesn't matter. But it's a whole other discussion. I'm not going to get into NBA load management.
Hard to watch
the NBA. It's like 800 fouls, and everyone complains and flops the whole time. By the way, I'm a huge soccer guy. I'd love the NBA crowd to stay off my back. Soccer games are done in 2 hours.
I'm about to say I'm not a huge soccer guy. I've never watched soccer. I was like trying to get into it because CJ, I'm like, all right, dude, you love soccer. Like, make me like it. Like, help me like it. So I was trying, but my fiance actually played soccer in college, and I tell her, like, can you like make me watch soccer? Like, teach me about it.
So you gotta find a club. You gotta find a club team because the quality of international soccer is not great. It's like fun and people care, but. Once you find a club team, two
things. Soccer and hockey, I haven't really ever got into.
My question was going to be, before the season starts, is there a game? Is it like, are you trying to get to Islanders, Rangers? Like, have you Yankees, Mets? Like, have you figured out yet? Like, are you just like
who my teams are?
Yeah, who your teams are? Yeah.
I know Zach
got a lot of shit for wearing a Mets jersey than a Yankees jersey. People were very upset about it.
Yeah, We went to Zach actually brought us to a Yankees game. During like in May, and it was awesome. I had a good time. It was probably one of the most fun I had at a sporting event. We had good seats, like nice little setup in the VIP section. We're having a good old time. CJ did the same thing though, I think, because he went to a Mets game and threw out the first pitch, and then we went to the Yankees game. So sorry for getting you in trouble, my friend. I don't know. I like the Yankees. That was a cool experience. I need to get to Madison Square Garden eventually. I really don't like, I never really grew up with like a huge fan. Like, I like the Pistons, obviously, when I was growing up. Like, they were the Pistons. They were, you know, Chauncey, Rip Hamilton, Tayshaun. Like, what was not to like about them? Like, I'm not like a huge, like, usually like fan of, I don't know, I just never like been a big fan. I just always wanted to do it. So, like, I try not to like be too like fanish about it, because like I just, that's what I wanted. Like I wanted to be a professional player. So
makes sense. I
Yankees game was cool though. I enjoy Yankees game.
I like to hear that. I'm a Yankees Nets guy, which is very rare.
Be a Nets guy if I had to choose, just like with Kyrie and KD being there, even though it's been a mess, I feel like. But they're playing well right now, right?
Yeah, they're playing well. Whenever KD gets hurt, everything kind of falls off the rails a little bit, but just shows you how good he is. I'm an OG Nets fan, by the way. I've always said this on the podcast. So like that Pistons team, the infamous like holding those J-Kid Nets teams like 60 points in an NBA game is still wild. But obviously, you know, appreciate you taking some time. You know, obviously a big year, you know, big year too. And obviously we'll, you know, who knows who will be a quarterback, who knows what will happen. But you know, obviously it'll be a little more clarity on that as the offseason goes along.
Yeah, it'll all work itself out. It's just enjoy the process.